Good morning. This is a recording of a talk given on Sunday, the 27th of February, 2022. Our Bible passage this morning is Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through to 22. If you've not had the chance already, please do find a Bible or look it up online and have a read of that passage, and then we can look at it together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this Bible passage is your word to us. So help us to listen carefully to what you are saying. And may your Spirit teach us and transform us for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, let me begin by asking a question. What do we have confidence in as a church? As we look to the future, who or what are we trusting for our mission and ministry? Once we know the right answer, yes, we're trusting God. But are we really? Are we not always looking and hoping that ultimately the Diocese of Chichester will keep us afloat? And we can be confident in them. Or maybe we're trusting in the money in the church bank account, that it'll be all right, we've got a bit of reserves. Maybe our confidence is in a person, the minister, the rector. It'll be okay while they're there. Maybe our confidence is in our church wardens and our PCC. They'll keep us going. They know what they're doing. Maybe our confidence is in our strategy, that we've got a plan and we know what we're doing. So what are we really trusting for our growth and future as a church? I begin by asking these questions because at the church in Laodicea that we're going to meet today, well, they were self-reliant and actually quite self-confident. Have a look at me, verse 17. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. Their confidence, it seems, is in their wealth, their ability, and in themselves. And Jesus, let's put it mildly, is unimpressed. As we come to look at this passage, this question of whom are we going to have confidence in is going to come to the fore. Now, the background to this passage is that we're in the final book of the Bible. This is the book of Revelation, written by the Apostle John to seven churches in modern-day Turkey. Churches under persecution from the Roman Empire. And the Apostle is giving them a vision that's come from Jesus to help them keep going. It's a vision that explains not only the times they are in, but also what to expect moving forward. And the book begins with a message from Jesus to each of the seven churches. And we today reach the last of those churches, Laodicea. Now, before we look at the text and what Jesus says to this church, what it means for them then and then what it means by implication for us now, let me tell you a little bit of background about Laodicea. This background is quite important, because it helps us really understand the text. Firstly, it's important to note that Laodicea was a wealthy commercial city with a significant banking industry. If you think of the United Kingdom, think of the Square Mile and those city corporate world. Well, that is Laodicea. It's a banking place. Secondly, it was a healing place, famous for its eye ointment. It was the Harley Street, so to speak, of first century Turkey. It's a banking place, it's a health and healing place. It finally is a place of fashion, and well known especially for its black wool. The Bond Street of first century Turkey would have been in Laodicea. So this is a city that is wealthy, has great medical prowess, and it loves fashion. The other important piece of background is to know about its water supply. So near to Laodicea were some hot springs of Hierapolis, a place to go for bathing and healing. And it was the water from there that supplied the city. Of course, the problem was, as it moved along, I'm guessing aquifers or something similar, the water, by the time it arrived in Laodicea, was lukewarm. So Laodicea is known for having lukewarm water. Water that was neither refreshing to drink or warm enough to bathe in. And knowing those things helps us understand what Jesus says to this church. And the first thing I want us to see is that Jesus does not want a lukewarm church. Let me read verse 15. Verse 14 starts off with, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation." This is God himself coming in truth. And he says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Spit them out of his mouth is a mild translation, so to speak. Literally, it means Jesus is going to vomit this church up. To put another way, lukewarm Christianity makes Jesus sick. And Jesus says he does not want lukewarm Christianity. He's quite brutal here. "I wish you were hot or I wish you were cold. Hot water for bathing, cold water for drinking. A lukewarm, useless." Now, what is Jesus saying here? Jesus, it seems to be saying, he looks at their deeds. Verse 15. So he's looking at our actions, the way we live as Christians. And he's saying, are we being fruitful and useful for God? Cold water is useful. Hot water is useful. Lukewarm water is neither. Are we useful to God? Do our deeds point to us being zealous to serve God? Or are we lukewarm? What does lukewarm Christianity look like? Well, verse 17, I think, is that worked out. "You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing." In other words, lukewarm Christianity is self-reliant. It's more about us as humans than it is about God. And Jesus says that sort of Christianity, well, look how he describes it. You are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus is saying to a church in a town that was wealthy that these people are poor. Jesus is saying to this town that was full of medics and medical institutions that they're blind. And he's saying to this town that was the heart of fashion that these believers are naked. How much more brutal could Jesus be? Everything for which Laodicea was famous for, he turns on his head and said, "You are none of those things." And so what does he tell them to do? Well, he makes a counsel of them, verse 18. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich." See, worldly wise, they were rich. They've got cash in the bank. They've got a nice villa or whatever they're living in. But Jesus says, you want to buy refined gold, come to me. And that will make you spiritually rich. In terms of clothing, they were famous for their black cloth, but Jesus is asking something very different. He's offering white clothes. The Bible. When we reject God as the rightful Lord and creator of all things, as verse 14 puts it, the ruler of God's creation, when we reject him, the Bible says we're dirty, we're naked in the sight of God. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus came and died. And on one sense, he took on our nakedness. He took on our dirt. And we're given his clean clothes. So Jesus promises white clothes to cover our shameful nakedness. He also promises to a medical town south to pull on their eyes so they can see. You see, this, they may have had medical ability in this town to help with sight, but Jesus is offering spiritual sight, and we need to buy from him. To this self-reliant, lukewarm church, she says, come to me for true wealth, for true sight, and for white clothes. Now let me have a think. What does this look like for us individually and then corporately? I think the question I need to ask is this. Are you lukewarm for God? Only you know your heart, and only you know what your deeds look like to the Lord. The Lord knows your time, your capacity, your gifts, and your stage of life. And he asks, in the circumstances you are in, are you seeking to serve God wholeheartedly? Are you trusting him? Dependent on him for everything. Put it a different way, are we confident in our job, our family, our pension, our bank balance, our friends, or on God? Only you know the answer, but I just need to tell you, Jesus says, lukewarm Christianity, self-reliant, unfruitful deeds makes Jesus sick. Do you need to come and hear verse 18? Do you need to buy from, come to the Lord Jesus? Maybe the question comes back to us as a church. See, a lukewarm church, it seems to me, is one that's trusting in things like the diocese, the Church of England, the bank balance, the minister, the PCC, or the strategy, rather than trusting on Christ. If the ministry of word and prayer, Christ's way of doing our work, is not at the centre of our life, then we will be lukewarm. Jesus does not want a lukewarm church. Actually, a lukewarm church makes Jesus sick. He wants a church that's dependent and trusting on him. Maybe you're here today and hearing me talk about these things makes you feel guilty. Well, please turn with me to verse 19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So Jesus has said that this church in Laodicea makes him sick, and yet he still says, I love you. See, Jesus loves this church. That's why he rebukes them. That's why he disciplines them. The Lord does that. Well, how does he want us to reply? So be earnest. Be serious. We're not messing around. We're dealing with the Lord God. Verse 14, the ruler over God's creation. Will we repent? Are you here today? Do you want to say sorry for being lukewarm? Because look at the promise of verse 20. Here I am, says the risen Lord Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. In other words, will we hear what Jesus is saying and go to him? And what will he do? I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. What a wonderful picture of Christ coming and dining with us. Sharing food is a wonderful picture of friendship and fellowship. And here we have Christ coming to a lukewarm church that on one level makes him sick. And he says to them, repent. Turn back to me and I will come and dine with you. And the reward at the end of time, verse 21, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. So Jesus died and rose again. If we believe and trust in Jesus, we will also die, but also rise again and be with him. We will reign ultimately with Christ. What a wonderful picture and hope for the future. So friends, who are we trusting in today? Individually? Corporately? Will we buy from Christ, his God, his white clothes of perfection, his salve that can enable us to see? All we need to do, the Bible says, is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive those things, to hear his voice, open the door, and he will come in and dwell with us. Let's hear his word. Verse 22, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. And Father, we do thank you that you love us, and that you love us so much you rebuke us and discipline us even when we make mistakes. So help us to hear your voice and to respond accordingly today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.